weren't blocked.
Blog Talk Radio.
Now, you know, expressing love. Yeah. There's no greater invitation to love than loving first. Yeah, that's a wonderful expression, but doesn't really exist. Entering the fourth chakra, there is a transcendence of ego. It allows us to lose our self-defined boundaries and merge with the world around us. As we escape the constriction of the lower chakras, we break through into a sense of the infinite. The experience of love as an infinite source is this joyous opening and abundance of the great chakras. While self-love is important to the underlying balance that supports any long-term relationships, the greatest significance of love lies in its profound connection between self and others. Love is a unifying force. It is transcendence of boundaries and understanding of the infinite patterns of interdependence between all things. Belief is a natural state, not something that is consciously formed. There is a state removed from love that is unnatural. Love takes the emotional content of the sacred to the second chakra and balances it with understanding from the seventh. Understanding tempers the tenth desire and allows us to see beyond our own needs. Emotion gives fuel to the understanding, giving it us connectedness. As detached intellect lacks. Inherent in love is the sense of constancy, continuity. For our parents, we needed to learn that we would be there day after day in order to grow into security. Love that comes and goes batters us. A binding force allows something to hold, nothing long enough to evolve patterns to deeper and more cohesive states. Love is an inherent binding coming from an integral infinity, not an external control. It allows change and freedom. It keeps the coherence of the center. support of the integral network that allows an integral part to be greater by experiencing the whole. Love is a force that enhances, teaches, and nurtures. Expression occurs in many ways. At the risk of dissecting an indefinable, unifying force, I've broken it down into three basic ways in the forms of an underlying vibrational aspect, as discussed in relations to affinity, strokes, the form of words, occurring actions, as unconditional acceptance of persons or things as they are. Stroke is anything physical or verbal that one person may do to another to make them feel better. I give you a stroke by telling you how nice you look today, or that I enjoyed the play you wrote. Or I can also give you a physical stroke, such as rubbing your shoulders or putting my arm around you. Strokes of both kinds are absolutely essential to the healthy maintenance of both individuals and one of the prime motivators of human activity. Someone wants money or power as often because they believe it will bring them more strokes. Strokes are basic to our personal growth. As young children are conditioned and taught by strokes in the form of approval from our parents, strokes shape our ideas of who we are. Oh, look what Sally's made. Isn't she creative? Strokes are a stimulus to the heart chakra and one of the main expressions of love. They are ability to put someone in affinity with themselves and the means through which we share our affinity for each other. They are the communication of information from the upper chakras that bring information or attention to our positive aspects, thus enhancing them. They come from a place of compassion, connectedness, the ability to sense another's need and answer to it. Strokes form a positive feedback system. If I told you how nice you look today, you feel pleased. Most likely you'd want to find something nice to say to me as well. And I would feel pleased. And on it goes, each time, making us feel more and more comfortable, appreciated by each other. There are many things, however, that can reduce the flow of strokes from one person to another. Undue attachment to one person can reduce the flows of strokes that could come from many others. Jealousy reduces the flow of strokes as it dictates that they must flow within narrow limits. Heterosexism, homophilia, homophobia, rather, ageism and racism restrict strokes. You cannot touch him. He's of the same sex, or she's too old, or the wrong color or size or background. Any of these demarcations destroy the understanding of someone in independence that is integral to the heart chakra. It is if we felt we had a limited number of strokes to give, and if we gave them all away, we'd run out. If we see love as infinite, approach it from an abundance instead of scarcity, we see that in truth strokes are self-generating. Opening the heart chakra is expanding one horizon from the sharing of strokes. People of differing backgrounds are more likely to simulate growth than those who are the same as you. The greater our understanding, the greater our capacity for love. The heart chakra perceives the world, its unity, not its separation. If holding strokes usually decreases the number received as well, is a vicious cycle. I don't think John likes me. He probably thinks I was silly if I said how much I admired him. Meanwhile, John is thinking about how cold and detached you are. Breaking the cycle removes some of the blocks between people on a heart chakra level, when we can make the first move. We Rejection is one of the most basic fears within each one of us. It's not surprising when you consider how important it is that our core center remain healthy. Rejection remains our basic internal balance, our basic infinity. Positive feedback system is short-circuited. We turn this non-love against ourselves and start to self-destruct. Instead of feeling connected, we are once again cut off, separated, isolated. For some, it is easier to live without love altogether than to risk opening, sharing, and falling. This fear is integral to the understanding of the heart chakra. It works as a protective device, helping to balance the flow of input and output. It is the gatekeeper of that delicate heart chakra energy. However, the maintaining of this gate is a two-edged sword. The input and output of energy in a chakra increase together. The more tightly our gate closes, the more we restrict the passage of energy through all the chakras. This restriction not only inhibits energy passage to and from the outside world, but simultaneously restricts the flow between our upper and lower chakras, causing alienation between our minds and bodies. As soon as the chakra becomes depleted, we have walled ourselves into a world alone. The cycle is hard to break. Learning to love takes energy on many levels. We need all of our chakras in order.
Through it, we grow, we transcend, we triumph, we survive.
surrender to grow again, even deeper. We are renewed, cut down, or renewed again. It is the force of the eternal, the stabilizer. Blessed be the love that makes the world go round. Blessed be the central wheel of life from which all others turn. Tonight I'm reading from the Wheels of Life. Consciously or unconsciously, every being is capable of healing himself or others. This instinct is born in insects, birds, and beasts, as well as man. All these find their own medicine and heal themselves and each other in various ways. As we come up to the heart chakra, we encounter the arms upright with arms outstretched, and the body forms a kind of cross, the four points of which meet in the heart. Just as the legs are connected to the chakra one, the arms are like the integral part of the middle chakras, 3, 4, and 5. The Chinese describe all parts of the body as being either yin or yang. The yin parts are the front of the body, soft fleshy parts, and all the solid organs, such as the heart and the spleen. The yang parts are the heart muscles, muscular parts, the part of the body and all the hollow organs such as the stomach and large intestines. The arms also have a yin and a yang side, the yin side relating to the heart chakra and the yang relating to the throat chakra. The hands too play an important part in the expression of both chakras, as well as the manipulation of the world through the expression of the power chakra. The inside yin channels of the arms contain 3 of the 14 Chinese energy channels called meridians. These particular meridians correspond to the heart, lungs, and pericardium, a loose sac covering the heart. Obviously, these are all relevant to the heart chakra, and they carry energy from that center down to the arms and hands. The channels along the inner arm are seen in this system as the healing channels, while the yang outer channels relate to the creating of chakra 5. The healing channels are the manifested form of heart chakra energy and the physical and auric expression of love in its effort to promote balance and equilibrium. There are also minor chakras in the hands. Hands are very sensitive extensions of the body-mind, having far more neural receptors than most parts of the body. The hand both create and receive, and the sensory organs pulling in as much information as the eyes and ears. They are valuable tools in the perception and control of psychic energy. To open the hand chakras, see the exercise. Healing is the restoration of balance to an organism or a situation. The word heal means to make whole, and it is believed that all disease, whether caused by germ, injury, or stress, is a result of an imbalance that then fragments the organism and destroys its natural resin infinity. Opening the heart chakra, developing compassion, connection, and understanding for those around you naturally gives rise to the urge to heal. From a selfish point of view, the realization that we are all one dictates that, like the Bodhisattva, we cannot advance alone while others are ailing. The Bodhisattva is someone who is spiritually advanced but avoids crossing into enlightenment until others can follow. Instead, he stays behind to teach. But the Bodhisattva we find must take the time to heal others as we advance along our path. This represents a balance between the lure of spirituality and the need to remain in the physical world. Helping others also arises from a simple state of compassion, center of the heart chakra. Through non-judgmental compassion for others, we cannot help but reach out in a healing manner. Our vision of the balance of all things underlines anything which is not our money with the balance. It is as natural as straightening a picture on the wall. Excuse me one second. This represents a balance between the lure of spirituality and the need to remain in the physical world. Helping others also arises from a simple state of compassion, center of the heart chakra. Through non-judgmental compassion for others, we cannot help but reach out in a healing manner. Our vision of the balance of all things underlines anything which is not in harmony with that balance. It is as natural and straightening as a picture on the wall. One need not be a professional healer, doctor, or possessor of that supernatural power in order to have their healing channels open. The natural urge to help an old lady across the street, or comfort someone in tears, or rub a pair of tired shoulders, is an opponent and an expression of the heart chakra as a surgical operation, and often more so. Many people forget the lesson of balance in their healing efforts. You might call them meddlers. To properly heal someone, it is necessary that they come into balance with their own energy, which may not comply with the healer's concept of correct. A true healer must turn into her subject, remaining grounded in her own energy, allowing the subject to create his own sense of balance. The healer is merely a catalyst in the subject's own healing experience. In the process of healing, regardless of the method, one must not forget the importance of the breath. When the breath is so developed that it creates an atmosphere around the healer, and the very presence of the healer heals. When our heart chakras are open and balanced, our very presence radiates love and joy. This love is the pure essence of true healing. Several years ago, I was given this book by George Dixon. I was laid up in the hospital. I was near death. I'd gone 5 days of surgery. And by an angelic surgeon, she was a remarkable woman, saved my life. And I understood, as I read these words, and I understood about the first chakra, which was the base where my problem lied, that I would divert the energy, healing energy, chakra, to that particular chakra. heal and create the subconscious healing process. And within a matter of a month, I was totally healed. In 2 months, I was totally, completely healed. And I give all credit to the surgeon, but at the same time, I don't know, but I give all credit to the ability to heal oneself. Understanding this ability that we have to heal ourselves is, it's an evasive kind of understanding. You can have it at one point, and then it's like everything else. You can leave, it leaves you until you bring it back.
Person breathes in about 1 pint or less per breath.
You can confirm this for yourself by taking a normal breath and then seeing how much more air you can add to it. While you are doing this, notice how it feels to breathe deeply. Notice what part of the chest feels tight, constricting breath, and give them a little pat massage, freeing up the chest and feeling and freeing upper back through massage or emotional release should always deepen the breath. Most intellectual activity, since it requires so much physical exertion, leads to shallow breathing and then becomes a habit. The frequent fear, anxiety, depression, smoking, or simply polluted air also leads to habitual breath deprivation. This habit, once formed, leads to slower metabolism, lower physical energy levels, and buildup of toxins in the body, all of which become a self-perpetuating cycle. As our metabolism is lowered, we become lethargic, leading to greater reliance on conveniences such as driving when you can walk, ingesting stimulants for more energy, or smoking cigarettes to paradoxically simulate the breathing motion. None of these things help the breath. All of them pollute the air, which make it difficult for any of us to breathe deeply. The brain, too, relies critically on a constant source of oxygen. In the resting body, 1/4 of the oxygen consumed is used by the brain, even though it is only 1/50th of the body's mass. Hold your breath and see how long you remain conscious. The breath is also one of the few things in the body that comes under both voluntary and involuntary control. Involuntary, the body contracts, the breath contracts when we are afraid, and probably a carryover from survival instincts when holding the breath help us remain undetected by dangerous creatures. Similarly, we can combat fear by forcibly deepening our breath, thus easing tension on our whole body. By exercising the voluntary aspect and consciously trying to increase our body, our breathing capacity, we gradually make this deep breathing a habit. The breath can actually change the body's structure, and once changed, the body hungers for this increased oxygen supply. It is an evolutionary and healing-oriented process. The Hindus believe that breath is a gateway between the mind and the body. When the thoughts are quiet, the breath is calm as well. A soothing and healing rhythm runs through the whole body. The mind also can be calmed through control of the breath. The flow of breath, as it constantly enters and leaves the body, is a dynamically moving energy field that constantly fills your body's shape and returns formless again to the outside world. Through directing the return of formless again, or rather through directing the breath, through visualization of body position, various parts of the body. We visualize parts that may have special need for its energy. Pranayama techniques are designed to nourish the psychic and spiritual pathways in the body, such as the major nadis and acupuncture meridians. These channels are charged by this process, and when charged, become magnets for attracting further energy. A vicious cycle has all taken a positive turn. Quality of heart chakra energy can often be sensed by the quality of air in a room. In searching for the path with heart, it may behoove us to follow our noses. Indeed, the breath is one of the ways in which we are all connected for breath from my body, as it mixes evenly with the air around us, will soon become part of your body too. Pranayamic breathing exercises are many and varied. If you are really interested in working with this powerful tool, there are several books on yoga which list more exercises than there is room for here. A few basic exercises follow. help us on that. Because it goes into a series of exercises and meditations. This book, again, as I said, I don't know if it's still in print. It's called The Wheels of Life by Anodia, Anodiea. Anodiea, Judith. User's Guide to the Chakra System. Put out by the Llewellyn New Times. Interesting book. It made a difference to me. Perhaps when I was reading it, because I was laid up in a hospital when I first read it. They had a wonderful, several really good doctors. One, who was my, I guess you could call my caretaker or my, my primary doctor. A remarkable woman who gave me a gift as I woke from surgery. It was a gift of Mandela's. Nothing exists. Glad you're back. change me, but not to the extent that you would think, oh wow, you know, miraculous thing happened. You just go, it's kind of a matter of fact to say, yeah, well, here I am, you know.
Only two petals at the Ajna Chakra.
There are many interpretations of their meaning, the two worlds of reality, manifest and unmanifest. The intertwining nadis, Ada and Pingala, which meet at this point, and the two physical eyes as they surround the third eye. The petals also resemble wings and symbolize the ability of the chakra to transcend time and space, allowing the inner spirit to fly to distant times and places. It is interesting to note that the top of the caduceus, where the sixth chakra should be, also has two wings. In one purpose, interpretation is that two petals surrounding a circle resemble the white of eyes itself and surrounds the iris. The seed around the chakra is OM, with special emphasis on the MM sound, which vibrates the bones in the face and stimulates the center. The corresponding element to the chakra is light. Its corresponding function is, of course, seeing. And through the sensory perception of light, we obtain information about the world around us. And how much we are able to see depends upon how open or developed the chakra is, including, to some degree, the acuity of our normal eyesight. The gamut of visual and psychic ability can run from those who are extremely observant of the physical world to those who are gifted in the psychic perception, who can see auras and chakras and details of the astral plane, precognition, seeing of events and other times, and remote viewing, seeing into other places. Unlike the five precious chakras, which are situated in the lower body, the brow chakra is located in the brain. Therefore, its nature is more mental than any chakra studied thus far. And while language from the fifth chakra is also a mental process, physical utterance of speech does not have such a direct correlate in the brow chakra. Our visual perceptions must become translated in other forms, such as language, actions, or emotions, before they become objectively intangible. This also makes this chakra more internal than the previous five. Very few visual artists seem to have a direct avenue of expression for their inner visions that need not be translated into other non-visual dimensions. Yet with expanding technology bringing us instant photography, motion pictures, and home and video computers, we are becoming more fluent in visual language. Will there come a time when psychic communication becomes common enough that this expression need not go through channels that are outside of the physical body? Perhaps as we learn to develop the chakra, understand the function of the tiny pineal gland, and evolve to a point where psychic perception is better understood, we can have visual conversations as easily as verbal ones. In each chakra corresponds to a gland. Chakra 6 is related to the pineal gland, a tiny, approximately 10 millimeters by 6 millimeter cone-shaped gland located in the geometric center of the head at approximately eye level. It is possible that this gland was, and one time, located nearer to the top of the head. In some species of reptiles, it is forming a kind of light-sensitive perceptual organ resembling another eye. The pineal gland, often called the seat of the soul by René Descartes and others, is actually a mystery to modern science. It reaches the height of its development at the age of 7 and has been thought to influence the maturation of the sex glands. Embryologically, the pineal gland is derived from a third eye that brings to develop early in the embryo and later degenerates. It is believed that the pineal influences both the endocrine and central nervous systems, but at this point no one is quite sure how. There is general agreement, however, pineal gland is affected by light. Melatonin, a chemical relevant to pigment cells, has been isolated from the pineal. It is suggested that the production of the melatonin is triggered by exposure of the eyes to light. However, another source states that changes in external lighting influence pineal activity, even when pathways mediating conscious light perception have been severed. Is the immaturity of our culture at this sixth chakra level relevant to atrophy of the pineal gland? Does the gland have a mystic function that presently lies dormant, waiting for some sort of spiritual or cultural awakening? Studies have shown that the light has a definite effect on the health and behavior of plants and mammals. Could it be that the pineal gland plays some secret role in the link between light and the chemistry of the body? At this point, there is not enough evidence to say. We can only ask the questions and hope someone finds it worthwhile to investigate their answers. I've done a lot of research over the years regarding the pineal gland, if you will. And there's no question that it's there. No question what it does. It creates visions. It creates your connection to Godhead. I'm going to end tonight with with the next chapter, which is light. It says, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:3. At the fifth chakra level of awareness, we experience vibration as an underlying manifestation of form. We in turn use vibration in the form of communication, creativity, to represent this form. At chakra 6, we encounter a higher, faster vibration than that of the second of the sound, though of a fundamentally different character. Here we embrace the phenomenon of light, a small part of a larger electromagnetic spectrum. Ultraviolet radiation, radio waves, X-rays, and microwaves are just a few of the many waveforms within this spectrum that are not visible to the eye. Light is the form directly perceivable by consciousness. Whereas sound is expressed through a wave-like collision of air molecules, light is a far finer vibrational energy produced by radiative emission from atomic and molecular structure or systems as they undergo energy level transitions. In a very real sense, light is the voice of atoms and molecules, whereas sound is the voice of larger structures such as rocks and crystals, plants and humans. Visual light, characterized by energy packets called photons, exhibit both wave-like and particle-like properties. The latter is in interactions with matter, and the former in its aspect as a radiating field of energy transitions. Since it is wave-like, some of the principles we discussed with sound waves apply equally well to light. Variations in frequency give us the different colors, just as frequency and sound gave us the different notes. Light travels the fastest of any of the elements discussed so far. Wind, which reaches 150 to 200 miles per hour, and even sound at 720 miles per hour, are left far behind by light at 186,000 miles per second, the fastest known speed of any material phenomenon. Again, the step further further out of the physical limitation of time and space at each new dimension, and the extreme speed of light distorts and transcends our very sense of time. This too becomes important at the sixth level, whereas Vishuddha, the transcendence distance, the Ajna chakra transcends time. Light in a form of energy. It's a form of energy. But the particles are considered massless. Light can still induce energy in the form of electric current upon striking metal, a phenomenon known as photoelectric effect. Photons striking the metal displace electrons in the metal, which induce a current. The interesting thing about this effect is that the lower frequencies of light, such as red light, for example, might not have enough energy to induce a current, regardless of the intensity of that light. But higher frequencies, such as blue or violet, a current can be produced, which will vary with intensity. This implies that in the nearly non-physical dimension of light, quantity of light is far less important than quality. And quality is dependent upon frequency, which we experience as color. For this reason, any study of light must include an excursion into color. And perhaps next week I'll venture into color and speak about these chakras. But what I'd like you to take away with you tonight in this reading is that we exist in a holographic existence, and we are able to heal ourselves. I haven't mastered that yet, but I've had the chance to do it and create a miracle for myself. And I want to do it again and again and again and again. And you can do it as well. And if you can pick up this book, it's called The Wheels of Life. It was written by A-N-O-T-E-A Judith. A-N-O-D-I-A Judith. It's called A User's Guide to the Chakra System. I highly recommend the book. Brilliant. A very, very brilliant writing. An understanding of the body, mind, and the chakras. With that, I thank you. And I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, tell your friends. And wish you a pleasant evening. For some reason, I really like this song. Not really sure why.